When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Well, hello again, it's Ian St. John, and today on our podcast we have two of the greats of Liverpool Football Club. We have John Aldridge, ace goal scorer, and Phil Thompson, a former captain. And I think, Phil, you were the first Liverpool captain to lift the European Cup, am I right in saying that?
Right, back in 81, yeah. It's, I don't know whether you could say Emlyn was a, I think he was a christened the Scouser. After lifting them, but born and bred Liverpool man, 1981 against Real Madrid in Paris. It was just the highlight of my career as a whole. It was an absolutely fantastic thing. The game wasn't the best, but who's bothered when you win? You win 1-0, you beat Real Madrid. The All Whites versus the All Reds. It was a fantastic occasion.
Yeah. It was later that night, wasn't it, in Kirby, when you took the cup back to Kirby?
That was the Thursday night.
Was that the Thursday? Sorry, Phil.
It could have been the Friday or the Saturday. I can't remember.
Two right as well. Brilliant.
It was. Did you walk into the pub?
Pub in Kirby.
I took the European Cup back to the pub. And one of the great stories about when I walked in with it, it's fantastic. What do you do when you win a cup? What do you do when anybody wins a cup?
You fill it.
You fill it full of ale, don't you? Yeah. Well, the lads put about 8 pints into it, and it was only about 2 inches, 3 inches in the bottom of it. I remember the next morning, 9 o'clock, Peter Robinson ring me up and saying, Phil, do you know where the European Cup is? And I was looking on my sideboard. I was that drunk. We had five already then, because there was my head was just a blur. Fantastic occasion. It was longer than that as well, by the way.
Good story. Now, our new website is up and running, by the way. It's www.fivetimes.co, and you've got lots to see on there. There's columns written by the likes of Jan Mulby, Mark Wright, Roy Evans, John here himself, John Aldridge, and I might have the odd column. So, a whole load of different Liverpool players, and talking about the club and the past and the future. And so, go and have a look. And there's also some Christmas gift ideas. We have some Bill Shankly prints made from some of his most influential players are beyond there, signed. All of whom, we look forward to getting them out to the public. And I think it would make a great gift for Christmas, would it not? You know, Shanks, especially now in his 100th sort of anniversary.
100th year.
Yeah, 100th year if he'd have been alive.
Fantastic, Ian, as well. I think the Bill Shankly thing should always be remembered.
Yeah.
I think it's one of those things where he was always our hero. He was yours as a player. Mine certainly helped you make your name, made me make mine. John.
Adored him, yeah.
Revered him. Yeah. And I think it's like that. And my children now, my kids, my eldest is 31, my youngest is 19. They all know all about Bill Shankly.
Yeah.
And I think it's for generations to come. Mm. This fella should be lauded as the Red Father.
Yes.
He is the one who made everything happen for us.
He did.
When you see what happened in Jakarta, happened at the MCG. Oh. And these things, would it have ever took place if it wasn't for Bill Shankly? It's hard to get your head around. I know we had a history before that, but so we should always remember. I mean, these things with prints like that, you would like to think is that people as far away as Singapore, Jakarta, Bangkok, Australia, they would still be very much interested in a piece of memorabilia like this.
Have you got anything of Saint? You and Saint got anything of Bill? Because I remember I bought a print. There was 100 prints from 25 years ago by a local fella, and I actually bought one of them, and I've got it in one of my rooms. You know, just in honour of him, as you quite rightly say, something nice to have. You know,
I've got a number of things, pictures and what have you of them. One of my great ones is that one on St. George's Hall, and I think it was from 71 when we actually lost, is that with his arms outstretched like that, you know, and it was, you know, the people, that my players, they're here to do it for you.
And that was the thing about the fans of the day, that he was putting them first all the time. He'd yeah. say, in the dressing room, he'd say, no, don't let them down. You know, they've worked all week and they've followed you here and, you know, away games and that. They've followed you here and spending the money to get here. Don't let them down. And, you know, the players were always made aware that the most important people at the football club were the fans.
Absolutely.
And,
absolutely.
You know, put us in our place. Okay. Now, listen, you fellas that can still run around a little bit, I've got big games coming up. There's one in South Africa, mm-hmm. which you boys are going to play against the Kaizer Chiefs, who will be putting out probably their first team. I'm going to see if I can get to the bookies and get a bet on this, you know. Because I don't think you lads are living the life of athletes now, you know. So
no.
I think the Chiefs might have the edge.
I think it's a fair comment there.
I've seen John in the David Lloyd, by the way. He is pumping bigger weights than David Price. Honestly, I thought he was on a straight, didn't he? It was incredible. It was, he was pumping him after, what's going on? He said, oh, I'm getting fit. South Africa. I didn't know it was Rumble in the Jungle. What? Goodness. But it is not. He's still fit as anything. I'm not. I won't be playing, Ian. Roy Evans and myself have been. Roy will be back to his days of joint managership.
Yeah. They're planning how to stop the Kaizer Chiefs. You know, the Indians, whatever they're called. I don't know. Chiefs, Indians, they're all the same. But we're looking forward to it. Actually, as Tom said, I got into the gym a couple of days ago because I've been away in Portugal for a couple of weeks. I haven't been able to do much, so I'm on a bit of a keep fit regime and looking after myself. I'm going to have an odd couple of pints before the game.
So, not the day of the game.
I know it. The night of the game.
John's nose is just growing bigger than mine.
No, but it'd be a great occasion. Apparently, the tickets are selling like hotcakes, and we're all going over my banded. You know, we got, you know, Phil and Evo, who's going to do the planning now to stop them. I hope they've got some videos on them and such, you know. So because we'll need some sort of recommendations on their plays, won't we? You know what I mean, Saint? So a bit of pressure there for you, Tomo.
But it's great. There's been a sort of a change over the personnel, if you want. There's still the stalwarts there of Alan Kennedy and Phil Neal, David Fairclough are still there. But, you know, there's the new order, likes of Robbie Fowler, Steve McManaman, John Barnes, of course, but even Patrick Berger and Vladimir Smicer.
So, well, good additions.
We do need. We had a game of Chester the other week, and there's only a few of us turned out, and through the middle, like, we had Alan Kennedy and Phil Neal centre-backs. Oh, dear me. Jan Malby, John Barnes in the centre of the midfield, and myself up front.
Mobile midfield.
In mobile team, by the way. We played a gang of young kids, and we couldn't keep up with them. It was ridiculous, wasn't it?
Where did you all park your Zimmer frames, by the way?
That's what I thought about. I had Zimmer frames for the next 4 days. Afterwards, I couldn't move. It was so hard. So at least these will be more or less our age group, hopefully. And as Phil quite rightly said, you know, we brought in some fresh legs, and we got some youngsters.
Young legs, there, isn't it? Yeah. And I think you need it, because the Kaizer Chiefs are taking it very seriously.
Well, they will do.
But having like trials to see what every one of them wants to play in this game.
It's like an international match for them, isn't it? You know, them against the mighty Liverpool. I'll tell you, I mean, I've played in South Africa, and I know, you know, we've got a huge support over there, and there'll be thousands at the game, and a lot of them supporting Liverpool, of course, you know, supporting the Chiefs. So, we're looking forward to that. But also, I mean, you've got, I don't know if this is at the same time. You move on to Singapore to play the Singapore Masters.
The boys have just been on the plane, and that I was speaking to Robbie the other day, actually out there. And again, Berger and Smicer were out there. There was Robbie. I think there was Mark Wright, who got dropped off a little bit, and he had to go and play for the All Stars 11. Yeah. And our lads won another trophy. So new order of players. It's still very, as you know, the Masters over here in England, our lads always won it because they were very good at keeping possession of the ball, knew how to win games. Jan has been on these ones, and even Steve Harkness was on, which is nice to see. Uh-huh.
Okay, so they're six-a-side games, by the way. They're no full 11-a-side games.
Six-a-side games. Kaizer Chiefs will be.
That's a full 11-a-side game. Okay, right. Let's turn to the more serious side of it. The game last week, which I'm sure all the fans loved it. I certainly loved it. against West Bromwich Albion. It was a great, convincing result, wasn't it?
Absolutely, and I think it cheered everybody. We've been having sort of just 45-minute games.
Yeah,
of the season. And so it was nice for the lads to play. And make, you know, no bones about it, this was a good West Brom side.
Aye.
They'd gone to Old Trafford and beaten Manchester United deservedly. They'd held Arsenal, probably could have got even more out of it, at the Hawthorns against a good Arsenal side. So these were in fine form. And I was thinking, this is going to be a tricky one. We need to... and I think scoring two goals so quickly. But I think overall, it wasn't just the scoreline. It was how the boys play. Would you agree, John?
Yeah, the big difference for me is the two lads up front. When you've got them in the side, you've got a chance. They're playing with loads of confidence, aren't they?
I know it is the SAS, John, but do you think it could be a Sutton and Shearer, whereas in 95, because they had two players who scored so many goals, didn't matter about elsewhere. They didn't have midfield who scored goals. Do you think they could really make us a serious challenge?
I think so, Phil. I think you're right there, because you're looking where goals come from in the team. And with this 3-5-2 format, you're looking in midfield. Well, certainly, you know, Lucas is not a goal scorer. Henderson, you know, is coming around leaps and bounds as a player, but he's not a goal scorer. And Steve Gerrard is in this laid back role. So you're dependent on these two other than set players, aren't you, really? Because the wing backs aren't. So we're a little bit too dependent on them at the moment. But, you know, they're doing the business.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If you remember Sutton and Shearer at Blackburn, 95, they went on to win the league with just those two. Because if you think of their midfield, when you look at all the teams who've won the Premier League titles, they've all had great goal scoring midfields. Even the first one, Leeds United, had a good goal scoring midfield. Manchester United have had it, Arsenal have had it, Chelsea have had it. You know, they've all had, but Blackburn didn't. So you can actually win it. Okay, maybe the league has changed a lot since then, but certainly with these two lads, if they're scoring the goals, and I know what you're saying, but Stevie playing in that advanced role, if you have Jordan and Lucas playing
there.
I think you're maybe paying a bit of disrespect. I don't mean that. I'm going to go. It's a 3-5-2. I think it's more of a 3-4-1-2. And I think Stevie playing in that role, when you have confidence, I think now he's got confidence in Jordan Henderson as though he can play in that role.
Yeah.
And I think the way he's probably fell across this system by chance, would you agree?
Well, that's because it fits the bill with the centre-halves that we've got at the club. You know, how can you accommodate them all? Flat back four, you can't. It's as easy as that with the four players we've brought in, you know, the Sarko and Skirtle and Agger and Torre. So it works out well for the manager. It makes it a little bit, his life a little bit easier. And to be fair, they've been playing well.
Yes.
But, you know, I think we just need, if we're going to keep with this, we need Johnson to chip in with a few goals. I just think we can't be, I know what you're saying, Phil, about, you know, winning the league with Sutton and Shearer with different kettle of fish, maybe. These two can be the same, but we need from somewhere else, don't we? Coutinho's got to come back in. I think you're right with Steve Gerrard in a more prominent role in behind him. Now you're talking, because Steve will get 10 goals a season, you know, he will, you know, including penalties, and that's what you need someone else to come in. But I think the wing backs may have to chip in a little bit.
Can I suggest something? I'm exceptionally pleased with what Brendan's done. May have fell across this formation by maybe chance, because when he had the four centre backs against Southampton, just did not work. And he's gone, well, how can I accommodate this? When Johnson wasn't available at that particular point, I think we need to make space for Daniel Agger. When you've got a player of his ability, and I'm talking one of the best players, sort of centre backs, he's played left back, and I would think you're talking goals or assists.
Yeah.
As him play the left
wing
of
back,
that where Sissoko has been, and him play there, because he can get goals. He's got a shot, good in the air, far post, i.e. Ray Kennedy, if you want, left midfield. Exactly. And I think when you've got a player of that ability, because he is a fantastic footballer.
Oh, he is,
but he's 6'3". And he's got a great left foot, can get forward. Sissoko's done well, don't get me wrong, but I think when you've got a talent that is like Daniel Agger, you have to find places to play these lads.
That's a fair point.
That's a good point, Andrew.
I haven't heard anybody sort of push that point before. Certainly not on this programme.
But you've seen him.
I know. He's played left back in the four. But what Phil's saying is right, because he's so comfortable on the ball. Yeah. He's so good going forward. So, it wouldn't be derogatory to him because he could do that. You know, and add to the team, you know, for the set plays where we all know there's a little question mark over set plays. So it could be a real good valid point, yeah.
You imagine Glenn Johnson on one side and Daniel Agger on the other. It's not two players who are properly comfortable. That's why when Brendan did play the four centre backs, I was surprised that he played Sacco at left back. And I think it was he had Agger at left centre. Whereas I'd have at least played Daniel Agger at left back because he is comfortable in possession. Where I don't feel Sacco's done fantastic. I think he's really come on, but I just think you should
better balance.
Absolutely,
And good point.
Yeah, and you mentioned Johnson there in that forward position at right back, but pushing on there. I think a lot to come from him because I think he's got the ability to get forward, come inside, blast it with that left peg he has, you know.
Getting a few goals.
I think so.
Yeah, you know, he's had a few penalties and such, but you know, we need him to get involved more. I think on Saturday, I think he needed that game because he'd been out for a while. He looked a little bit rusty for him, didn't he, at times, you know. So, but we won 4-1, he didn't have a bad game, but it'll do him the world of good. Hopefully that little bit of an injury he picked up, you know, won't hamper
him. Like that though, aren't they, John? They need a few games to come. Some can slot straight back in. Yeah. Some need a few games. And Glenn's been like that. And I think that with the more games that he gets under his belt, again, all of a sudden you see him more confident to take people on, particularly around the corner of the box. He's got good delivery. Agger from the other side has got good delivery. Yeah. And I think it gives you pluses. As you say, if Coutinho comes back in and plays in that forward advanced role, you know, Stevie drops back with Lucas or Henderson. Now you're talking about, you've got a proper 13, 14 starters there who you go, hey, this can compete at that top level.
Yeah. It's funny because when you can't get in the team, all right, you just look at it. If we can't get in the team, the team's winning, which was the old Liverpool philosophy, wasn't it? You can't get in unless someone's injured or they play bad or get suspended, whatever. You know, if I was asked to play right wing, I'd say, bloody hell, too right, well, no worry. So, you know, if Daniel Agger gets the opportunity, like Phil saying, I'm going to play left back, I'm sure he'd roll his sleeve up and say, oh, I'll have a go with that, because at the moment the three centre halves are playing quite well. At least I'm in the side, you know, and then see what happens from there. So I think it's an interesting point,
see,
that, Phil.
There's been rumblings in the paper that he'll want to move, and he'll want to, which he has done in the past, without a doubt. And that'd be the worry, is that hopefully the club don't look at it as well. At the moment, he's worth top money.
Yeah.
And he is on big salary. And you go, and you think, but you can't, because if we're realistic, looking at finishing in the top four come the end of the season, we're needing top quality players to play in Champions League football next season. I'm thinking long term here, not just short and narrow ideas of, oh, well, come January, if he's not in the side, it's like Andy Carroll. Andy Carroll, you can't have a £35 million player warming the bench. Well, they might start thinking about Daniel Agger.
The only way he would be warm on the bench was if the manager didn't think he was good enough to have a starting place. And I think with Carroll, for me, I think, you know, and he was always getting injured anyway, but I don't think he'd convinced everybody at Anfield that he was the guy
to play. It's just trying to put in an analogy of like Carroll with Daniel Agger.
Oh, right.
That was what I was trying to say, is that would they look at it as £35 million player sitting on the bench? Yeah. It's not really good enough.
Have the money.
So Daniel Agger is not in the team. Yeah. He could be worth £25 million.
Leaking money,
Plus, he's probably one of the biggest wage earners.
But
hopefully they don't
put that in perspective, Phil, because you're right, you know, we've come different ways to what Chelsea have. I looked at Chelsea playing Arsenal last night. I looked at the team. He'd made 10 changes or whatever. And I'm going, I forgot about the that player. I forgot about you had that player. I forgot about you had that player.
Wasn't it? Strength.
An unbelievable strength of squad that he had. And they're paying 140, some of these players are on 140, 200 grand a week that are in this so-called reserve side. Now, Now, that's the mountain that we've got to try and inch up to, and the Americans have to realise that. To have a squad, if you've got a big Champions League, to build to that, and if a player's valued at 20 million, i.e. Daniel Agger, you keep hold of him.
I'm just giving my fears.
Yeah, no, you're right, and you're spot on. You're spot on what you're saying. But that's, I think you've got to try and build it to what they. I know they've got more money and they've got a sugar daddy, which we haven't got. But certainly, we've got to try and make waves to get somewhere near that mantle, isn't it?
I think getting your best players, if we class them as that, into the team, it's got to happen, you know. And if it means maybe even a player moving a position, at least he's in the team, you know. And it's very important. We've got to keep the class acts in the team. And if anybody's going to come out, it's been the ones that you don't, you know, put in that bracket. And I think there are still a couple or so in the team where you say, well, you know, if we could get somebody better, they would be out and we'd get the class act in. But if Coutinho, does anybody know when he's going to be fit?
He said he's ready for selection. Right. I probably wouldn't see him start at such a game like Surf at the Emirates. But he will probably be on the bench. I would imagine that's what I would be if he's fit, because I believe he's back in training.
Well, the bench is getting a little bit stronger. If you've got him on the bench, and then you've got Enrique on the bench, you've got Agger on the bench, we've got everyone available, haven't we?
Right.
Which makes us a lot stronger, you know. But Arsenal, it's one of those places you look, and then we've done really well there recently since they moved to the Emirates.
Yes.
At Old Abbey, we struggled, but we've always played with like a 4-3-3-4-3-2-2, well, two wide men with one up front, and we've nullified their width, because my worry about going to the Emirates the way we're playing, the moment with the system is the way they play, they stretch and they've got a wide pitch, they utilise the width, and with just two wing backs, I'm a little bit worried that they might just get in them areas what will harm us, you know.
The problem is, if they play Walcott's not been playing, and I'm sorry to disagree, John, but they haven't got width at the moment. Oxlade-Chamberlain, he's a wide player, he's not been playing, and Walcott's the other one. The rest of them are very much similar and all want to come inside. Rosicky, Cazorla, you've got Wilshere, you've got Flamini, who won't be playing anyway. Arteta's plays in there. Ozil plays in there. Everybody is more inside. My problem, and I totally agree with it, is if Walcott was to play and he played wide on the right and maybe cheated a little bit and got the other side of whoever plays the left wing back, then we would have problems.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. Yeah. Forgot all them two injuries, aren't they? Depends who comes in and how they play. But predominantly, if they have got the wide people up front, you know, I'm just a little bit worried that this system might not, you know, fit the bill. But you know, you've got to go there.
What they've done, they've allowed Sanya and Gibbs. They've been doing quite a few of their games.
Yeah.
They are racing on.
Yeah,
everybody goes inside, and they have this nice tiki-taka football in the middle. But then they have these coming round the outside.
Yeah.
And to me, Sanya's not the best at delivery. Gibbs is far better. Yeah. But if you've got your sort of your wing backs, now it's cat and mouse. What do we do here? You've got to say your strength and say to say Glenn Johnson and Sissoko or whoever plays there, is to make sure you force them back rather than them force you.
It'd be a battle of wits.
I would feel.
Yeah. Well, it's top of the table game, isn't it? We haven't said that for a long time at this stage of the season in November, isn't it?
You know, everybody's talking about it. Is, you know, let's see if it's the right Arsenal. You know, they've got these big games coming up. Is it the real McCoy? Mm. But we're the same. We're looking here now.
Yeah.
How good are we going to be? This is a big test. This is the Man United one.
This is where it comes down now. Yeah.
Let's go. So it's similar teams.
Is it a good time to go to Arsenal? They've had two defeats on the bounce. Are they, you know, are they getting the doubts again? Because they're not a great team, Arsenal. They're a good team, but they're not a great team. Will the doubts be creeping into them that, hey, you know, Liverpool, as you say, John, who have got a good record down there, well, let me think of mine. If we lose again, you know, the whole thing could fall apart.
I think there's no harm, sake. You're right. You know yourself, when you're firing all cylinders at home, your confidence is high, the fans expect it, and, you know, everything seems to go well. But a couple of little knocks, you know, knocks the confidence within the club and the belief.
Yeah.
So I think, if anything, it will benefit us, you know, rather than them have won like 4-0 and 3-0 at home the last two games. I think it will benefit. And they'll be very weary. They'll be, you know, worried about our two lads up front. They'll be intimidated because the form they're in and the goals are scoring at the moment.
There's pa- Pace.
Yeah.
Pace,
yeah.
Which has made the Saka hasn't. He's absolutely clever. He's a clever boy and he's had a good time. Him and Koscielny are good, but they'll be looking at the pace. And now, the likes of Daniel, if I was sort of him, I would be saying, try and err on that side. He plays right centre back. Try and err, and you get one on one. Know your players.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You take him on.
You can isolate them, Phil. You have to get at them.
He did it against the centre back of Sunderland, and you'd seen in the game before it. And I'm sure Daniel, when he went by him on that inside right position, and he walked past him. Yeah. And you know your players like that. Who was the lad who used to be a filler at the centre back at Sunderland? Can't remember his name. But he just glided past them, and that's what you do. You isolate them, and then you take that sort of player on. So I would hope that. For me, they'll be thinking, hopefully as well, about Champions League the following week. They've got CSKA Moscow coming to the Emirates, so they've got that on the plate as well. We're lucky that we haven't. We've still got to be focused in our mind. So it will be. Knowing the way they do, that coaches, it'll be good teams. Top teams don't lose two games on the run. And they'd be very conscious of that. So they will be up for it. I think the early spell is if we make sure they get nothing out of it and we impose ourselves on them, I think that early stages will tell us where we're going to be in the match.
I think that's under Brendan, you know, more so than any manager we've had of recent times, Rafa and Kenny, away from home. He does go to win games. You know, sometimes we've sat back to them going, and Roy Hodgson was the prime case. Away from home, you're thinking, do something. But at least we go out to try and score goals and win games, don't we, So that's...
I know Ian said before, the second half, we haven't really performed. Yeah. That didn't matter whether it was at home or away. So we were still playing the same way, the same system, and we were having great 45 minutes. Not being able, whether it was at Anfield or whether it was at Villa Park or whatever.
It's a big mystery, isn't it? It's a mystery of the season. Mm-hmm. Why we don't have a great second half. I mean, there's no reason for it.
Going to a penalty has to be, doesn't it? It's a weird one, isn't it? But we got two goals on Saturday, so that's the first time we scored two goals. It's like waiting for a bus to all come at once, isn't it? Hopefully, yeah. But to play and win at Arsenal, you have to have a 90-minute. We can't have 45 minutes, can you? Last year we fell apart in the end of the game, didn't we?
I'll look at our strike force, I'll look at their defenders, and I would quite fancy our boys getting goals.
Yeah.
I think they've got a defence that, with Suarez's style of running at people and making a fool of them at times, he's brilliant at it. I think those two big centre defenders are going to have a real problem.
Johnny's not been bad. He's got a bit of pace, but you're right, Ian, is that particularly the right hand side, Sanya and Mertesacker. Sanya's having a torrid time. Mertesacker, no great pace, but a little bit like Sammy Hupia, doesn't get caught out too much. But you isolate them two on that side, and I think that is the areas where you
can be the plan.
Well,
the thing is as well, you look at what that.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Puzzle what he's done with him, and what a player, what a buy he's been up to now. And tremendous. M. Cazola, Arteta. As you said before, Phil, through the middle.
Ramsey's been fantastic.
Yes, they've got Wiltshire. In them centre midfield areas, there's no better team with better players probably in the Premiership with five players of that calibre, have they? We've got our own, but not five players. All top
midfield players. You look at Dennis Chelsea, how they've got so many players in that midfield area. Yes. You look, as you said before, the Chelsea bench, or the players who played yesterday. Mata can't get in. He was fantastic last night. Mm. But they've all got an abundance of players in there. There you say, how the people down the other end of the East Lancs have suffered, and yet these two teams have got an abundance of talent.
Yeah, that's the position you were looking for, yeah?
We've just got to hope that Bentner plays again.
What about his hairstyle? What was that all about?
Oh, no,
that didn't help him.
Nearly a ponytail.
It was nearly a politically correct thing. Wouldn't you go with conservative? Sort of hairstyle, just so that you didn't sort of get recognised, and because he's ridiculed, and then you come out with a ponytail. Do me a favour.
Right. So, we've gone into some depth about our squad at the moment and the good things about it. Now, do you think? I mean, it's a bit early to talk about. Can we win the league? Do you see us again with the outcome of Saturday's game? We'll wait and see. But do you see us inside the top four, clinching a top four place?
Yeah, it's possible. Of course, it's possible with them two up front. Yeah, it is possible. Yeah. You know, I think what we need is possibly to go the whole of the season without serious injuries to any of our big players or suspensions, which we've had, you know, last year, as we know, and keep, you know, the top players available throughout the season, and we can do that then. I think the league's beyond us, personally. I hope I'm wrong. But I think, we can get in the top four. You, Phil?
I'm well in agreement with that. We're all quite frightened to say the C word, championship.
Yeah, I know.
You do get worried, but I'm looking. And maybe it's not... Yes, we're a good team. Yes, as I said before, probably our top 14 players, we've got a chance. Mm. And it's not... We've not got sort of any depth in it. So for us to continue like that, I would think, yes, we have. As much as because we've got 14 top players, some of the other clubs, I still think, are finding their feet. Well, and I really do. And it's even down to your Chelsea's. And because, really, Manchester City played very well against them at Stamford Bridge, and yet they got beat. So there's all kinds of just all that everybody seems to have the margin of each other. And yeah. I think if we can just keep our heads down, get on a consistent runs, whereas we go a long periods of time without losing a game, that'll build up confidence. And I do, yes, think that we can finish in the top.
It's a cutthroat top eight. It's going to cut through. Even Southampton, and I like their manager. I think he's going to be a top coach. He's done marvels there, and they're going to cause problems. But all them, the top eight teams there, it's going to be the closest ever. It's going to be a scramble right the way through to the end.
And for this city, Everton are in the top, that group you're talking about, isn't it? Which is great for us, because that's all we want here, don't we? We want...
They can beat people. They can beat people. Aye. You know, because they have it.
Yeah.
You know, I'd like to think they touch lucky when they sign not just Lukaku, but when they signed Gareth Barry, somebody of that experience, international, and is gone, who can get the best out of people around them. And so they're going to be in, I'm not saying going to be in the top four, but like to think
that. We finish a couple of points behind.
Exactly.
We don't mind, do we?
They will beat a lot of teams, particularly at home as well.
Well, you mentioned there, you know, Gareth Barry, experienced player, midfield player, and you think, blimey, that was a goodie. How did, you know... He missed the net, as it were, but top. Here's another one for you then. Xabi Alonso, talk that he's coming to the end of his contract, end of the season. Now, would you take Alonso back?
We've all got so much love for the lad, what he's done at Liverpool, you know, so much respect. He's 31, coming to his end of his career. I think we probably say yes. But I think the owners will probably say no, because it probably doesn't come into the...
You've got to have a blend. You've got to have a blend. Sometimes, we took a chance on Gary McAllister. I know you keep going back to him as a player. Yeah. This guy's 31. He's never been quick, Xabi. Yeah. Never been quick.
Only in the brain.
Exactly. And to play in that position, that's what you need. And remember us talking earlier on in this, is that you need... better players to get where we want to be. And I think the likes of him would come back, because he's out of contract. You're not getting anything. I think yes, he would command a decent salary.
He's a free.
He would get a decent salary because of it. He knows the area. I would think I would be desperately disappointed if we didn't have our hat
in
the ring
for him.
It jumped out at me that the name jumped out at me when I read that his contract was coming up. I thought, blimey, could we get him for nothing? Okay, salary, but we're getting him for no fee. He's the fans loved him here. He was so much part of a great time, you know, with Steven Gerrard, and you know, it was great. And Torres, when Torres was playing, they were brilliant. And I thought, wouldn't it be great for him to come back? And if we're going to be brutally honest here, it would really stiffen up our midfield, wouldn't it?
Yeah, of course. He's still got a couple of good years in him, yeah,
he's
of course.
The best passer of a football in Europe. Yeah. And, you know, you're talking in Spain there, you've got Xavi and Iniesta, who are nice little, little players, and whatever, but doing what he does, keeping things moving in a positive manner, not just going side to side or backwards. This fella passes a ball forward with pace, with accuracy, and he doesn't have 2, 3, 4, 5 touches. If he can do it in one touch, the ball gets delivered to a forward man, i.e. Mascherano to Alonso. Alonso straight to Steven Gerrard, straight away to Fernando Torres. Yeah. Goal
with them two we got up front, absolutely. It'd be perfect. But I just concerned a little bit with the model, you know, with the owners, you know. Obviously, we do want to bring the youth development. So, having said that, they brought Torre in last year. Torre, he's a free. So, I think, you know, I think we're all in agreement that we'd have him back. Absolutely. Yeah,
I think you've got to be in there, John.
I think
as a team like us, and if we could match it and pull at the heartstrings a little bit. And I know he's still got a lot of friends here on Merseyside.
We've got an advantage that he's been here. He loves the place. I've spoken to him, you know, quite a few times, and, you know, text and all that. He's still got massive love for the city and the club in particular, which should put us in pole position, because he's the type of player that, you know, money's not his god. You know, some players are mercenary. This lad's not a mercenary.
For two or three years, John, to get where we want to be. And hopefully after that, you know, it's absolutely not a problem. And that would give us good ground.
Yeah, I think you're right. I'm all for it anyway.
Would it happen, do you think, or should it happen for us in January when the transfer window opens? Of taking them in January, it would mean you'd need to pay a fee then, wouldn't it? Am I right?
But it'd be a minimum fee, because it's only 6 months of his contract. He's given them good service. He's not put anybody's nose out of joint while he was there. He was as good sort. Mourinho, it'll be after him. I've seen that in the papers. Uh-huh. He would be chasing him. And I would think you might have to. And I think once it's done, because he can agree terms in January, sometimes a club say, look, I think it's best if we do it now. Look, we'll take £1 million.
He can't have another centre midfield player on top of what he's got. He wouldn't get a game.
But he'd do it so that nobody else would get That's what he would do. Yeah. You said before, they've got all the money. He would say, well, I'll tell you what, Man United could do with him. Manchester City could do with him. You know, Spurs, mind you, they've got a load of midfield players. But it's things like that, and that's why he took Willian. Because we were after him. Yeah. And then Spurs were after him. And he's gone, oh, no. He's just done, because he's got a whole host of players. That's why he might take him.
That's quite devious, isn't it, when you think about it.
He knows him as well.
But you know, going way back, when Jock Stein was running Celtic and ruling the roost up in Scotland, he used to do this, and it was only after you come away from it all and you look back and you see it. When he spotted a player, an up-and-coming player, at one of his rivals, he went and bought him. Yeah. He bought him. So he weakened you, strengthened himself. And that's what you're saying about Mourinho. Mourinho can weaken your team, strengthen his own. He doesn't have to play them even. You know, as we see last night, there's a load of them. Then you go, blimey, I never knew he was still there. Mm. And it's such a big squad. They've got the money. Money means nothing to them. But for us, we need quality players in that midfield area.
Yeah.
Would we agree on that?
Yes, 100%.
So, let's, fingers crossed that, you know, come January, we see a bit of movement there in that one.
Yeah.
And, I mean, the fans, what a Christmas gift that would be, wouldn't it? You know,
it would be, absolutely.
He's coming back.
Absolutely, mate,
He's supposed to be playing tonight, isn't he? Xavi, making his return from injury tonight, yeah.
Okay, we've got on the old Sky.
I've just been speaking to him. Not.
Yeah, we get an inside track here from one of our Sky experts.
Listen to the expert.
No, what we're talking about great players now. Our man Suarez. A guy fell on Sky. I've got to bring up. Don't know if you've seen it. You know, in the Sunday supplement program on a Sunday, where the press lads have their say, and this fella was on. I don't know his face. Don't know him. And he said, "Oh yeah, so what are they believing at the end of the season?"
Did you see that? I was watching.
And
he
was adamant.
These guys seem to, something sparks in the paper, and everybody else seems to follow it up. without any grounds, without any.
When they've gone,
at least in the summer, we found things coming out by his agent. Louis himself came out and said certain things, and there was loads of stuff coming out which are gone, and people said, "Oh, is it true?" Well, it was there. It was on the TV screens in an interview in Uruguay. But this has got no grounds to it. You know, when you're playing as well as he and looked more than happy, you go like that, you think, he's loving every minute of it. You know, when Fernando Torres was upset, he had a gob on him. He had a gob on him. He was telling everybody on the pitch, this lad's not. So to me, he looked happy.
Didn't he, Torres,
you know, if he was sulking in any way, we'd see it. You'd see him in his body language. You would do it. And he is being as good as gold. If he is, and there still could be, Ian, I wouldn't be sitting here. You know what football's like, and smack you right in the face. But to me, and for him to come out, and when he said that, I went, what gives you right to say that with such authority?
That's right.
Is it just, and because there's, and when did it come up, Ian? It came up, the thing about Suarez, when the internationals were on, when the newspapers had not as much coverage for them to look at, and it's done then on dead days. It was like Tuesday morning of a day, and there's only the international football that. So when they're looking to fill the other sides, to me, somebody comes up, and there's certain people who you go, that could be him now. That could be him. You know the people who will do it, and
but it fills space. That's like, it's when they get bored. There's nothing to write about. All of a sudden, oh, Suarez will go back to Suarez. Let's throw another wobbler in there. That's exactly when it happens. But at the end of the day, we don't get Champions League football. We all know he'll be off. If we get Champions League football, then there's a case that he could stay.
Even so, John, I mean, if there's no Champions League football, but we have improved beyond all means from the previous year, with the prospects looking so much better. You know, we don't know if we're talking Alonso, maybe Alonso coming back. But if Alonso comes back and say Coutinho fits in again, who was looking great, and we're looking at a team then, and you're thinking, well, okay, we maybe didn't get Champions League this year, but we're looking at a team, maybe Suarez wouldn't.
In the right direction.
Aye.
And I think that's what it's all about. And other players, I was absolutely thrilled to see Diego Costa linked with us, and we nearly had the deal done, yet he committed to Atletico. And look how well he's playing. Mm-hmm. So it's the likes of him, you know, will he sort of be still happy at in Madrid? And he could be another one that we revisit if things did happen, because I'm not likely to sit here and say things will not happen. Mm-hmm. You know, but I think after next summer, with Louis, and I would like to think we will get Champions League football. If it didn't, I would totally agree, and we all agreed that last year. If things just worked itself out, because this guy's a magician. I've been pleased. Yes, he's had his crosses to bear, Suarez, but when he plays like he plays, it's just fantastic to watch.
Dream to watch, isn't it? Dream to watch.
The list is out about the great players, about the Ballon d'Or, about and Suarez's his name's in among it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now, I mean, do you think he would? I mean, because of maybe his past record, you know, the few couple of indiscretions with him.
Yeah.
Do you think that he would get votes as the best player in Europe?
He might get a few. If you see, the problem is we're not in the Champions League again. Aye. If you're in that and you're Van Nostrand, that gives you the edge, doesn't it? It gives you the edge for that. Yeah. Just on what he's done alone in the Premiership, perhaps not, you know, wouldn't give him enough to get there. But we'd all put him up there in the category, wouldn't we?
I'd be realistic. No, not a lot would vote for him because of what his indiscretions of what he did. His bite. There's a lot. Because if he can't win the Player of the Year in England, and he can't win the Footballers' Writers in England, he's certainly not going to get the votes to win the Ballon d'Or.
Yeah.
But I look at him. Gareth Bale is in the top three for the award. Who's the better player last season? Taking purely football, Suarez was great from the first day in August to obviously he was banned, but till he finished, he was the best player in the league by far. Bale was great from the end of November onwards and scored some worldies which put him in and obviously got him his move. If you're asking about players and Bale's in there as third, is it because of his move? To me, Suarez was the better player, but would not get the votes.
I totally agree. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
but the little Messi boy, we'll probably win it again. And as far as I'm concerned, I think he's just a wonderful little player. I love watching him. But just
do you think Ribery could upset?
Ribery, Ribery's right had a great season. Ribery has a big influence in his team.
Everybody's tipping him, aren't they?
No, Blatter. Did you see? Blatter, insulted Ronaldo. And the Portuguese, they're into him and disrespecting our player and saying these things. I mean, he should keep his big daft nose out of everything, shouldn't he? Because how does he get in positions anyway? How did he get there? But now that he is there, he just makes the world's worst decisions for football.
Madness.
And all us that have been involved in football, and you think, he's reached the top of the pile, this man. Who you would say he doesn't know anything about the game and the world of football or anything, and he's making decisions at the top level about football and World Cups and furnaces and all the rest of it. I mean, come on. And then he comes out with stupid things to insult players. And I mean, it's none of his business. Who votes for it? The press vote for it, or do the public vote for the player of the year that were in Europe?
Which the European one. It's a certain select press guys from all different countries who will cast the votes for them. And it's not everybody in this country, but there'll be so many people from the press corps here, so many from France, Germany, or Hungary. That's how they come up with the votes.
Right. Well, talking about, it'd be wrong to say crazy man, but what about Alex Ferguson? What about Alex Ferguson and his sort of rant, if you like, at Liverpool and his book, where he seems to pick out our team and have a go at everything about it? What is that all about?
I don't know. It's crazy, you know. He can speak his mind and say what he wants. We you know, that's freedom of speech. We all know that, but. You know, it's just crazy for him to come out, you know, to do what he's did and then start lambasting people. He seems to have picked on the people that will sell more books. Roy Keane, the controversy about it. David Beckham, who's become bigger than Alex Ferguson. Steve Gerrard, Liverpool fans, you know, but what he said about Steve Gerrard and Liverpool. He's picked certain people which will highlight his book. He probably, because he's the type of person that wants to win at any cost in football, maybe off the park as well, and he wants his book to outsell any other book in world history. So he's decided, I'm going to do this, that and the other to get the best book ever, because it will do for what it's at the market now. Through picking on them three people, it's took it out of mega, but it would have sold millions and millions. Now it's going to sell 2, 3, 4 times as many as it would. Or is it money? Did he want the money? I don't know. It's a strange one.
Whoever was doing his book for him, surely, particularly when you're talking about Steven Gerrard as not being a top player, surely whoever was doing his research should have looked at some of the things what Ferguson had said about Steven Gerrard in the past. And it's quite easy, because every other newspaper has raked it up of him trying to buy him. It's the most influential player in Britain or in Europe. All these things about how good a player, not even taking into account what sort of person he is and how well and how dignified he has been captain of his country, how he's played. Yes, Stevie's had a few problems, but it's by no means. And for a football club like ours, he's had all top players playing at a good time. Steven Gerrard didn't have that luxury.
Absolutely.
At Liverpool. He took it from me in Houllier's time, the last 2 years, pushing us to try and win trophies throughout Benitez's reign and even after. He has been an absolute total ambassador for this football club, for football itself, and didn't even deserve that. But why he's put it in is because that he will hope that we've got so many is people that buy the book to see what he said about it. My goodness, explain to me why he picks on somebody like Jordan Henderson, who's improved dramatically, who's trying to search for his way in, picks on his running style, his gait. Why? That's all I ask. Why?
It's so trivial, isn't it?
And don't buy it. Just don't buy the book. If you don't, I know there's avid readers of books, and particularly sports books. My goodness. And let me tell you,
I'm not going to buy it. I'm going to wait till someone gives it to me.
and I wouldn't even read it.
But the thing about it, Roy Keane was correct, by the way. I don't know what people think about him or what, but for him to say all those people, him criticising people who went to war for them, went into battle for them, won all those trophies, if Bob Paisley had have criticised me after he finished, and I'd be thinking, I won all those titles and cups for him, and I went in there and we played with 13 or 14 players a season. And then he went, oh, I should have left a couple of years earlier, and he was a bad influence in the draft. He had have been devastated. He had no right. Yes, we all thought that he didn't get on with Keane. He had problems with Yapstam, Van Nistelrooy, Beckham. And we all had an idea. Don't put it in print.
Yeah.
And also, I'd have been devastated. And those players seeing that now, winning all those trophies for those fans, for the football.
Massive club. Slant in it.
I just thought, why? For goodness sake.
Of all the players in the league, in the Premier League, was the hundreds of them, why pick on a Liverpool player? Why pick on Jordan Henderson, if you like, you know, who's, if you like, is not the star player of Liverpool. He's just a lad and young player as well. Why pick on him? And as a young player yourself, just think you're his age and you're playing for Liverpool, and this great manager from where I've just say Mark Busby had been, who would never ever have said a word about anybody, but just say Mark Busby had said, oh, that lad Thompson, nah, I don't fancy him, you know, he's got no pace, or you know, you'd have gone, you'd be devastated, wouldn't you? What have I done? Why has he selected me of all the players?
So strange.
And this boy Henderson must be thinking the same thing. Why me? Why has he picked me? Yeah.
Like he picked on things as though you're looking in as though to sell the book, you know, picking on Liverpool as an entity,
yeah,
because he knows that rankles, because he wanted to knock us off our perch. And a lot of people could say he'd done that with all the stuff that he's done. But you think, well, he's took him 26 years and still never won the European Cups. Bob Paisley won 3 in 9 years. Yeah. So you look at that and you think, well, why has he had a pop to us? And yet certain things in that book, which needed a lot more to talk about,
left him out about the fight
that he had with Magnier and what have you, and referees and the FA, and he left a lot of them out. And you think, well, that's Magnier, what it's all about.
And Rocky Gibraltar one would have put a slant on himself because what he did.
Exactly, but the years
and
they say, oh no, there was legal things behind it.
But at the end of the day, he's clever. He's such a clever man. He knows to sell books. You know, you're going to talk about Man United and Liverpool, who's got the two biggest followings by far in English football, in British football. You know, Celtic and Rangers. You know, my massive. But you, so he knows worldwide what we've got, and we've seen in pre-season in the Far East. He will sell mega books on the back of attacking Liverpool Football Club. You know that. It has to come down to that at the end of the day. And we always knew when it comes to Fergie's time, and he hangs up his book or his cap, whatever it be, he was always going to have another massive big pop at Liverpool Football Club. You know, because
it's nice to think that we still get up as Moses.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, he always will be.
I just think it didn't say an awful lot for him that he would attack one of the weaker links, if you like, of the chain at Liverpool. It was Jordan Henderson, and I thought it was an awful thing to do.
Awful.
And you
that
know,
could be, that could be Steve, you know, that Steve. Could help us down the line and help Jordan psychologically. I think,
yeah,
well,
sure.
Fair enough.
Let's
I'm
show.
Going to show him all through my and you things yeah. people have let you down yeah. or said things about you. It makes you stronger as a person. Yeah. And they say, yeah. I'll show him. I'll play for Ireland or England so many times. I'll prove him wrong down the line. Yeah. So hopefully, you know, Mr. Ferguson might have helped Liverpool Football Club there along the way.
But again, as what Ian said, it wasn't even anything about his football and about his running style. Just absolutely.
Unless he's going to end up in the Olympic Committee and select the runners. Did you have run-ins when I'm talking about runners? Did you have any run-ins, Tomo, with him? Yeah.
No, not really. No. He was as good as gold. But remember that one of the first times we won it at Old Trafford, we beat them. It was probably Danny Murphy, as he always seemed to do.
Yeah.
And after the game, I can remember getting in the. We went into the boot room, if you want, which is a room just by the dressing room. And we went in there and had Mike Phelan in there. And a lot when you go into boot rooms, you tend not to talk about the game. It's like respect for each other. You talk about everything. How are you and everything? How's things? Is this going on? And we were having a lovely chat. Alex Ferguson was nowhere to be seen. and him and Gerard were off doing the press, and we thought, yeah. So it was nice and relaxed in there. We as coaches were having a nice chat. Next thing, the door opens, Fergie walks in, and the television's on, the horse racing's on. Right. And he just said, all right, you okay, how are you? And then turned round with his back to us and just looked it up the racing, just fixed on it. And we were all looking at each other like that, eating chips, going, what's happening? Next thing, he's standing right behind the door, right, isn't he? Right. Next thing, the door nearly flew off its hinges. In walked Gerard Houllier, and he went, well, he said, we thoroughly deserved that victory. Yeah. And like, we all went, that. But he was so happy. You should have seen Ferguson's face, like thunder. He shook his hand. I'm sure he crushed Gerard's hand. But he was gutted. But Gerard, was not one for the etiquette then, boot room banter. And he just flew straight into it. We thoroughly deserved it.
Was there no handing the wine out? No.
Yeah,
no, cutting
it down. No, we're often just
read about
coach,
it.
It was leap for Milch.
Blue nun.
Yeah, the walker went out the window.
Now keep that in the fridge for next week.
All right, well, boys, we'll finish on that note then, and go off to the bar and get a leap from Milch. John's favourite wine. Well, thank you very much for joining us today on the Five Times podcast, and we look forward to being with you next week. From us all here, goodbye.